Our gospel for this Good Shepherd Sunday is the Good Shepherd reading found in the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Yeah, this is in the post-Easter kind of stuff where we once again are reminded about who Jesus is and what he was trying to accomplish, as opposed to a post-resurrection kind of story. Jesus is speaking. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and who will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of our Lord. Pastor, you said this was Good Shepherd Sunday, and you didn't say anything about Jesus saying, "I am the Good Shepherd." Yeah, go figure. I didn't come up with this arrangement. The next verse is Jesus saying, "I am the Good Shepherd." But we cut off at 10. You know, I didn't make the choice. You know, there's just all kind. You know, this kind of story gets me into all kinds of trouble because trying to find sheep jokes, it's a bad proposition, and you know what I mean. You know, actually, I learned something pretty cool about this. You know, if you've ever been watching any of the 1923 or the Yellowstone and all that kind of stuff, you know, there's the story when Harrison Ford, it was in the 1883 one, they have the whole thing about him versus as a rancher against the sheep herders. And you hear about that out in the West, you know, the range wars between sheep herders and cattle ranchers. And I found out why. You know what happens when you mix sheep and cows? You get a bad mood. I found that one, I thought that was hysterical. So, but, you know, I have my own particular sense of humor. I don't know about you, but, you know, it seems to me that if I want a bad mood, I just turn on the news. You know, it's the, you know, as one person put it, my desire to stay informed is constantly at war with my desire to stay sane and optimistic. And I look at these stories that we have today, and I go, what does Jesus bring to us today into what we face? This beautiful imagery we have from Psalm 23, from the story of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. I am the gate. How the sheep hear his voice. How there's the sheepfold which keeps them safe. Which kind of reiterates the issue of, you know, the Psalm 23. This beautiful, comforting, protective image of trust and hope. And what does it mean for us in this time and place, nowadays, to live as one of the sheep of the Good Shepherd? When, you know, when I was growing up, I remember there was a phrase called going postal, you know, and that was where bad things happened. It seemed to be somebody at the post office had it and that was it. But as of late, it seems like, you know, going to the store, going to the movie theater, going to school, going to the wrong house to pick up your siblings, going for a jog, going to sit at your own piano to practice piano. All of these things. You know, and we go, what in the world is going on? And we could, and of course, all the pundits say all these different things. But what do we as the church, what do we as the people of the Prince of Peace have to say for any of this stuff? In light of this gospel reading, in light of the 23rd Psalm, what do we do? Why is it there's so much fear? Because you hear a bunch of the stories, something happens, and it's because someone was afraid. Afraid of the other. Afraid of a particular situation. You see, of the issues at school tend to be, especially if it's a student, tends to be a student who didn't feel like they had any hope. Often they were victims of bullying and didn't see any way out. In fact, a long-time study of a whole bunch of the early ones, including Columbine, which happened when I was in seminary, and I'll never forget that night when I was at a Lutheran confessions class, and we're all sitting there waiting, and Pete Perro, our professor, who walked with Luther King Jr., he was an African-American Lutheran, yes, they exist, who faced shootings and bombings and all kinds of stuff and cross burnings in his own life. But he announced his entrance into the room by throwing the Book of Concord from the doorway up onto his desk with a loud bang, which of course on that day made us just about all jump under our chairs, and go, "Okay, children, your task today is to screw the syllabus and throw it out. What does this have to say to the people in Columbine today?" And here we are, 25 years later. What do we do? What do we say? How can we be? And I invite you to look at that Acts story again. Notice what the community did. This community that originally gathered in darkness and fear and hiding would gather regularly all the time. They would attend to the apostles' teachings and preachings. They would pray. They would go to the temple. They would gather with glad and generous hearts. They would go and out into the communities and do amazing things that people saw as signs and wonders. I wonder how many signs and wonders people have nowadays if someone goes up to someone else and says, "Thank you," or "after you." That might be a sign and wonder unto itself. Please and thank you. Sometimes we go, "Whatever happened to common courtesy?" Okay, children, as followers of Jesus Christ, how often do you show common courtesy? How often do you show respect? How often do we proclaim this that we wish to be? How often are we instruments of peace? And when we enter into a space, we help bring peace. But here's the thing. How often do we sometimes read like the John text and it becomes this kind of exclusivistic where the sheep gate becomes the wall we have to defend against all other comers? It's those people. It's always those people, isn't it? I know when I'm driving, it's always those people who are getting in my way and causing my problems. You know, if those people would just get out of my way, my life would be happier. Right? No. As much as my wife likes to tell me, I think I hear her, and then I forget. How are we acting? What are we proclaiming? How are we letting that light so shine? Are we trying to defend? Or are we trying to invite? Are we trying to exclude or are we trying to include? Are we trying to gather more at the table or decide who's at the table? Jesus says, I am the gate. He gets to choose. And actually, one of the things in John, if you keep reading, not only does he say that he is the good shepherd and talks about how the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, but he also goes ahead and says something about the fact that, you know, where he goes, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Nice, comfortable, relationship. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also and they will listen to my voice. What? You mean there's others out there? Yes. Just remember when these first words were said, we were those others. We are those darn Gentiles. There isn't an answer to all the things that are going on. I mean, yes, we can. I could boil this down to Jesus is the answer. I see it on the side of trucks. I love that one that I see north on when I'm going north on 10. All right, just remember your pastor has a wicked sense of humor. Jesus is the answer. It depends on the question. All right? You can come up with some really evil questions, all right? Not saying that I do much, but how do we reconnect ourselves, reground ourselves? By attending to the Scripture, by spending time in prayer, by seeking the goodwill of all, by breaking bread with together with others with glad and generous hearts. That's how we do it. It says, change people, change churches, and change churches, change the world. The only person you have control over is yourself. Be who you are, and empowers you and blesses you with gifts and talents to do that, to be that sign of grace and peace wherever you are. That's our calling. It happens at school, it happens at work, it happens at the gas pump, it happens at all of these places that otherwise you think of bad things happening. There's lots of good things happening out there too. Let's not lose sight of that. But you too can be. And if you wonder, how do you again face the struggles and all this and how a world that wants to grind you down and make you afraid? Pay attention to this. And in this, you will see 365 times, don't be afraid. In this, you will see the fact of how many times Jesus comes or an angel comes and says, peace be with you. You will also read and hear how Jesus sends us out with this simple message. To go out and go, peace be with you. That's the message. Peace be with you. You imagine how the world would change if more peace was waged than violence? How might we, each and every one of us, and the question I seriously ask, and this deals with the Life of Faith Initiative, this deals with a lot of other things. How can we, as the church, how can I, as your pastor, do a better job to help you with that other than this time? What can we all do to help us attend to what's in the Scripture, to find ways to pray, but also to be able to gather with glad and generous hearts, as well as go out with a message of peace wherever you are. Because that gift is yours. That gift is yours because God said so. The one who knows your name, the one who gathers and walks alongside you, the one who died for you, the one who rose to show you that death isn't the end. the one who gives you grace upon grace, which is why we can call it amazing grace. And so let us remind ourselves once again of those promises God has given us in baptism, those gifts, those talents, and that presence. So the promises of baptism, repeat after me. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. I've been marked with the cross of Christ forever. I am Christ's. So, beloved children of God, muchly loved, muchly blessed, may you know the peace that surpasses understanding. May you know the love that doesn't die. And may you be instruments and signs of that grace in such a way that it makes others wonder. And remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.